We're continuing in our series of Psalms of Wisdom, and tonight we'll be diving into Psalm 112 together. Let me read this out for us, Psalm 112. Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Let's pray as we come to God's word. God, as we spend time diving into your word, we ask that you would give us eyes to see wonderful things in it, ears to hear you speaking to us. We also ask that you would soften our hearts to receive it, that we might know you more deeply, follow you more closely, and honor you with all our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our daughter is about to turn 1 year old, actually, a week from today, next Sunday, and it's a fun season of life, the one-year-old life. And one of the things that's so fun is that when people see me or people see Amy with her, they see the family resemblance. Oh, she looks just like Dad. She looks just like Mom. And then, of course, we pull out our baby photos, and the fun happens all over again. We see it, too, and it makes sense. Children reflect their parents. And whether it's in the way they look or their character traits or their actions, children reflect their parents. In Psalm 112, we get a picture of the blessings of a righteous person who reflects God. Psalm 112 is linked in many ways with Psalm 111. The two have even been called twin psalms. Psalm 111, praising God for his character and actions, and Psalm 112, praising God for the character and actions of a righteous person. And both these psalms begin with the same phrase, praise the Lord. And though you can't see it in our English translations necessarily, both psalms are alphabet acrostics. So each line after the first line of praise the Lord begins with the 22 successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. You can maybe see that in a footnote if your Bible has one there. And even a lot of the language and themes of Psalm 111 are reflected in Psalm 112, themes like generosity, righteousness, foreverness, those kinds of things. Psalm 111 speaks about God. Psalm 112 speaks about a person. In other words, the character and actions of God that we see in Psalm 111 are reflected in the character and actions of the righteous person in Psalm 112. And it's that life that reflects God is a life that is truly blessed. I think it's fair to say that all of us in this room this evening desire a life that's blessed. We all want that life that's truly satisfying, firmly stable, enduringly happy. That's what it means to be blessed. But what does that life look like? What does it reflect? Because all around us, we see snapshots of people who seem to have it all put together, who seem to be living the good life. Maybe a movie star on the red carpet, or an athlete in the post-game interview after a big win. Or maybe it's all those picture-perfect posts from our friends who had that amazing spring break vacation. Are those things the good life? But is that really where blessing comes? Or is there a better way? Praise God that Psalm 112 reminds us that there is. A person who follows after God and reflects Him is living the truly blessed life. And since this psalm is an acrostic, it's not necessarily trying to work through a logical set of points where first A, then B, then C, and so forth. Rather, it's trying to paint this full circle picture, this A to Z reality of this blessed person's life looks like. And so we'll walk through the verses as they come, and trying to demonstrate the main themes of this psalm. But the goal of this psalm, and my hope for this evening and our time in God's Word, is that we see this picture of the blessed person who reflects God, and that we desire to become that person more and more. And so first, the blessing itself. Verse 1 opens the psalm. Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. A declaration of blessing. And speaking about a man, but that's not to say this is only for men and not for women. The psalm is simply using this picture of a blessed individual, this blessed man. Blessed is the man, the woman. Blessed is the person who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. This blessed person both fears and delights. Maybe it seems like a strange combination at first. We have to remember that one of the features of Hebrew poetry is to use these coupled lines to work together. So two lines that are coupled together may draw a contrast or show a similarity or build upon one another. And so the essence of the two lines together gets the idea across. So here in verse 1, we have to wrestle with how this blessed person fears and delights. The person fears the Lord. It's not being scared or nervous, though. To fear the Lord is to have a reverent respect and awe that is right to have of God. I often think of it this way, that if a world leader or a prominent person walked in and wanted to talk with you, you'd probably sit up a little straighter, say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Maybe your heart starts beating a little faster. There's a reverent respect and awe that is right to have for that person. How much more God, the creator and sustainer of the universe? Fear of the Lord. But at the same time, the blessed person greatly delights in the commandments of the Lord. Great delight. So we're not talking about simple momentary fleeting pleasure or trite happiness. It's not like putting on a smiling face, even though what's deep down inside is not that great. No, that's not what this is talking about. It's not trite happiness, but true joy. The blessed person realizes that God's commandments, His way of life, His word, it's not a drudge, but a joy to follow. Great delight. So this blessed person has the right orientation. God is God, I am not. Fear of the Lord. And since that is who God is, His commandments bring me life. Not meant to steal my happiness, but to bring me joy. So what does this kind of life look like? That fears the Lord, that greatly delights in His commandments. This life that's blessed. That's what the rest of this psalm dives into. And in fact, we'll see this blessing flows into all areas of this person's life. So first, the blessing. Second, this way of life flows into this person's family. And we see this in particularly in verses 2 and 3. Verse 2 says that his offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. So one of the things that jumps out from these verses is that this righteous person's blessing isn't just for them. The blessings that are heaped upon this person who fears God, who delights in His word, they don't stay localized with that person. They extend to the offspring, to future generations, even to children, to grandchildren. It's like ripples that start from a stone that's thrown into the middle of a still pond. So too, the blessings of a righteous person have a ripple effect beyond themselves. Verse 3 also speaks to this blessed person's family and their household. Wealth and riches are in his house, his household, and his righteousness endures forever. Wealth and riches. Well, back then, probably would have had the sense of a stable farm, food on the dinner table, maybe not the images of extreme extravagance we might get in our minds when we hear that phrase. But what's more, verse 3 pairs wealth and riches with his righteousness enduring forever. So this person lives rightly before God. And this is a reflection of what we see in the character of God. Psalm 111, verse 3, says that God's righteousness endures forever. And here, in Psalm 112, verse 3, the God-fearer reflects the same. And so, it's not that this verse is promising a big bank account, lots of luxury possessions, but rather that the righteous person views all of his or her possessions, whether it's many or few, as a gift from God to be used for the glory of God. It's a family that has its eyes fixed on following God. Well, it can get so easy to spend so much of our time thinking about financial legacy planning. It's actually a great thing to do. Wills, trusts, all the rest. We spend a lot of time in how our financial assets may get passed on when we're no longer here. It's a good thing to do, certainly wise. But if that is good and wise to do, how much more ought we to consider to work to pass on a legacy of enduring righteousness to the next generation? What a blessing it is to our children, to our grandchildren, even to our great-grandchildren, whether those in our household or our spiritual children, what a blessing it is to them that we ourselves walk closely with the Lord and that we teach them to do the same. Ripple effects of blessing from generation to generation. A blessing on the family. Well, third, we get a glimpse into the character of this blessed person. And it's a lot of places in this psalm, but maybe particularly in verses 4 and 5. It says, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. And this psalm doesn't avoid the reality that there will be dark times in life. Even for a God-fearing person, there are times of darkness, even for upright people. Times when things aren't going very well. Times when tragedy strikes. Maybe even just simply times when the path forward isn't illuminated. But even in those times, the God-fearing person still is gracious, merciful, righteous. That's how Psalm 111, verse 4, speaks of the Lord. He is gracious and merciful. And so too the righteous person, even if it isn't easy to be. His character is steady. It reflects God. What's more, this person deals generously and lends. Other people's seasons of darkness are not a time to take advantage of them. Rather, the person who's gracious and merciful and righteous, that person practices justice. She does what's right in God's eyes. That's instructive for us, isn't it? It can be easy to fall off the straight and narrow path of steady, God-reflecting character, especially when we walk through the worst of times, or when someone else is walking through the worst of times. Moments when you don't know where to turn. And the path seems dark. Why? Why should we continue to follow the Lord in these times? Because light does dawn in the darkness for the upright. The righteous person knows this, and so that person can live even in those times with godly character. Growing up, one of our family vacations that we were able to visit was Carlsbad Caverns National Park in New Mexico. And it's an amazing place where there's underground caves full of amazing underground rock formations of all sorts of kinds. And one of the hikes we went on in one of those caves was actually led by a park ranger, and at a certain point, the ranger asked everyone to turn off their flashlights. And it was pitch black. I've never been in darkness so dark. Can't see your hand in front of your face. And I was much more grateful for my flashlight after that. Maybe it seems like right now you're wading through darkness. Or maybe you're walking with someone that's the case for. keep your hope fixed on God. Even if you feel like you can't quite see the path ahead, seek after him. Trust that God's word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Continue to show grace and mercy to others and seek to live rightly before God in the ways he calls you to. You may not see or understand everything you wish you could, but God's word will illuminate everything you need to take the next faithful step. Light does dawn in the darkness for the upright. Character. Well, fourth, security. Verses 6 to 9 highlight in many ways how the righteous person who fears God, who greatly delights in God's word, is secure in all kinds of circumstances. Let's look at it together. It says, "For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He's not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor." Part of the blessing, the true happiness and joy that this psalm lays out for us is the confidence of knowing that you're secure when you trust God. Never moved, not afraid, steady heart, able to freely give. This is a picture of a person who knows that he stands on a firm foundation. Again, this is a reflection of Psalm 111. Psalm 111 verses 4 and 5 teaches that God has caused his wondrous works to be remembered and that he remembers his covenant forever. Here in Psalm 112, it's the righteous person who's remembered, reflecting his God. But this righteous person knows that it is God who will always remember him, even if others forget. It is God who always keeps his covenant promises, even when others fail. God remembers. God is steadfast. And that's why it's possible to not be afraid of bad news. Because even though circumstances change, God does not. God remembers. And so the righteous person who trusts in him is secure. That's also why this person can be steady and not afraid, not taking out his or her own vengeance, because that person knows that even though the wicked people around them are going to do what they're going to do, God is a God of justice, and one day he will make things right. He will remember. This person's secure in that. What's more, this righteous person also knows the blessing that it is to be generous. That's what verse 9 highlights in many ways. This righteous person gives freely to the poor. Not grudgingly, freely. And also, his horn, his strength is lifted up when he gives. Only a person whose eternal security is held in heaven will be able to give unreservedly of their earthly treasures. As we think about these verses, one author put it this way, that the promise here is not for a cushy life, but for one upheld by God. Well, what a clear call this is for us to place our security, both for today and for eternity, to place our security in a God who does not change, in God who keeps his promises, in God whose righteousness endures forever. This made me think, as I think about security, I was thinking of Fort Knox, probably known as the most secure vault in the country. Something like half the country's stash of gold is held there, known for being an impenetrable fortress. And I read, apparently, in addition to armed guards, the walls of the building are 4 feet thick of concrete and steel, and there's a reserve power plant, a reserve water supply, and the vault itself is 100 feet underground. Try getting into that. That's secure. Well, there are so many things in our world today that call out for us to place our trust and security in them. Like they're the Fort Knox of this world. And it may not be a physical vault, but finances, family, friendships. So many things seem to offer us security and a firm foundation. And don't get me wrong, these things can be wonderful blessings from the Lord, but it is only God who remains forever. It's only God who remembers his promises. As secure as even Fort Knox is, it's no match for an eternal God. And so it's only when we place our trust in God alone for our security that then we get to experience all the other things of life for what they are. They're blessings from God, and then we can give freely to others because we recognize it's all a gift from him. Security. And then finally, in verse 10, a contrast. It says that the wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. And so the righteous person experiences blessings in his family, his character, his security, but the wicked person doesn't. The righteous person endures, the wicked person comes to an end. It's a contrast. Verse 10 serves to demonstrate that even though those who are against God may seem to prosper for the time being, their end is to perish. And so the wicked person sees the blessings of this righteous person, and they make that person mad, gnashes his teeth when he sees it. His desire is to prosper through his wicked ways, but his end is to perish. This wicked person won't come to anything in the end. The righteous person endures, the wicked perishes. A contrast of the blessing and the lack thereof. And so we have this picture of the person who's blessed, who fears God, who delights in his word, and this person experiences true joy, true happiness, and this blessing flows into this person's family, his character, security, all while the wicked come to an end, yet this person endures. It's a wonderful picture. And I don't know about you, but I want my family to experience this blessing. I want my character to continue to grow more and more. I want my security to be real and to last through all kinds of circumstances. I want to be like this person of Psalm 112. I pray that you do as well. So there's a challenge for us this evening. Because this blessing comes to the person who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments, who has enduring righteousness, who is gracious and merciful, who is truly just. In other words, the blessing that comes to the person whose character is that, like God's. As one commentator put it, Psalm 112 declares a God-like blessing on a God-like man. Who among us is like that? Of course, there is only one. Jesus is the man that Psalm 112 ultimately describes. It is his righteousness that endures forever. It is Jesus' mercy and grace that shone forth most clearly at the cross. It is Jesus who endured the just wrath of God so that we who come to him might be justified. And it's Jesus who triumphed over his enemies in the cross and the empty tomb. It is Jesus, as Colossians 1 puts it, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And so it's as we come to Jesus that we experience the riches of the mercy and grace of God. And as verse 2 puts it, we become the generation of the upright. Not in our own righteousness, but in his enduring righteousness counted to us. That all who come to Jesus might know the blessing of God. As the Apostle Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." The wealth and riches of the mercy of God are open to whoever comes to Jesus Christ. So what's our response? Well, in fact, Paul quotes directly from Psalm 112, verse 9, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, continuing his train of thought from chapter 8. So just as Jesus became poor so that you and I might become rich, therefore go and distribute freely, give to the poor. In other words, reflect the God who saved you. So go, fear God. Delight in his word. Live in grace, mercy, and righteousness. Conduct all your affairs with justice. Put your trust and security in God. Be a reflection in the power and strength of Jesus so that you might know the blessing of God in your family, in your character, in your security. Paul puts it this way in Colossians chapter 3. He says, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Part of the good news of the gospel is that it is God's grace that saves us from wickedness, and it is also God's grace that empowers us for righteousness. It's good news. Well, at the start of this sermon, I mentioned that our daughter's about to turn one, and so she wants to imitate us in all sorts of ways. We make an animal noise, she wants to try and learn how to make that animal noise. We put a toy on our heads and be silly, she wants to put a toy on her head and be silly. She also wants to take steps like mom and dad do, but she can't quite do that on her own. But if I lean over and I put out my hands and I pull her up, she too can walk as she rests on my strength. Christian, you have been saved from your sins by the grace of God, and you have been empowered for righteousness by the very same grace. And it is as you come to Jesus that you are able and empowered to live for him more and more, in his strength, to reflect him as you were made to do, and to know his blessing. And so, with verse 1 of Psalm 112, we can truly say, praise the Lord. Let's pray together. God, we are so thankful for Jesus, that though he was rich, he made himself poor, so that through his poverty, we might become rich. Thank you for the grace of Jesus. Thank you for the blessing that comes as we come to Jesus, that we get to know the eternal righteousness that is his, counted to us, that we get to experience the blessings that you offer in our family, in our character, in our security, that we can be firm and stable and steadfast as we look to Jesus. And so we pray that you would please help us, strengthen us, empower us to reflect you in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.